Welcome to the Sales Squared Podcast, your destination for leveling up in sales, marketing, and business development.
Dollar dollar bill, y'all.
Join us to hear real entrepreneurs with real experiences, engaging with real experts from the world of sales, business, and entrepreneurship. And now for another Sales Squared Value Bomb.
Hello there, and welcome to a brand new, spanking new episode of the Sales Squared podcast. And today I am solo. We have no Scott with us today, sadly, very sadly. But really, I just wanted today to talk a little bit about a book that I read that was very, very impactful. I learned a lot from it. And actually, I want to start a little bit of a series here in terms of a little book club here at Sales Squared. So we read a ton of books. Sales books, marketing books, business books, and learn a lot of really good information that we actually start applying pretty much straight away into the business, and then measuring, seeing results, seeing if it was good advice, seeing if it was a load of bullshit. Normally it's not, normally it's pretty good advice. And yeah, just reporting back and how that's going. So yeah, if you guys like the book review format, then please do give me your feedback. It's something that I personally enjoy very much, reading and reporting back to you guys on what I found impactful. So yeah, real short, sweet episode, maybe 10 minutes a piece, where I'll just recap, rattle through some of the key takeaways, and then hopefully you can get some good information from that, or maybe it will even inspire you to read the book and dig a little bit deeper into that. But today I want to talk about a book called 80-20 Sales and Marketing by a guy named Perry Marshall, who's a pretty big name in the sales and the marketing in particular space. He's a digital marketer. He has some great content around Google Ads, around Facebook Ads, but also he's just a really, really smart dude when it comes to this stuff, when it comes to sales, when it comes to marketing. So if you want a snapshot kind of image of this whole review, then I put one out on my Instagram, which I am slowly but surely using more and more for business purposes to enlighten people and provide value. And hey, here's a real quick tip. If you guys are looking to use Instagram as more of a platform, which I think it should be, to provide value, to actually help other people and not just post pictures of your nice holidays, which is really great. You know, everyone likes to see that stuff. But more importantly, what I find is valuable on Instagram is if I can go in, open up the app and learn something and then apply something, then I'm getting an ROI from it, right? And really, just for me, I'm trying to look at the ROI of every single thing in my life right now, be it social media, be it what I do in the day, be it the activities I do. And this book actually helped a lot to understand that. So anyway, back to the quick tip on Instagram. Instead of looking at the number of likes you get per post, which is completely superficial, most people on Instagram who get a ton of likes have bought followers, bought likes, or have some kind of campaign running, which makes a load of bots like their stuff anyway. So don't take notice, don't compare yourself to those people, especially if they're not providing any value. Then, to be honest, let those people do what they want to do. If it makes them feel good getting a ton of likes on Instagram, then fair, each to their own. But for me, what I'm actually looking at, and I don't know if you can do this if you don't have a business account, but if you have a business account, you can look on every post, there's a little button that says view insights. And instead of looking at the likes, instead of looking at the comments, look at those two numbers to the right. When you click open that little tab, you will have the number of people who have saved the post. So I notice every time I put out value, every time I put out a good quote, a good book review, something inspiring, some good knowledge, I actually get more of these saved icons. So I'll get maybe 5, 10, 20, I think on a couple I've even got like 30 or 40 people have actually saved it so that they can go back and look at it another time. For me, that's just so much more value to whoever is looking at this content. If they're actually saving it, if they're coming back looking at it at a later date, that's amazing. Another one you can look at is the sent. So people who have sent this post to others to inspire them, to give them some knowledge or information, then that's great too. So I'm looking more at that stat now, and no one else can see that stat. So I'm learning every day that I'm basically learning not to give a fuck about the number of likes I get on my Instagram posts, which I think is something that a lot of people have struggled with in the past, and getting to grips with that stuff. You know, it's the whole social media age that we live in today. people are starting to value themselves based on the number of likes they're getting on their posts, based on the number of comments they're getting on their posts. I was in London this weekend and it's crazy. I'm seeing, like, in my hotel, we're at the pool and there's like 12-year-old girls just on Instagram taking pictures of each other. Like, I'm sat in the sauna and I can see the whole of the pool, right? There's two little, I don't know, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls. They're on Instagram. They're taking pictures of each other for like half an hour straight. And I just see them scrolling, uploading onto their stories. And it's just quite worrying with people, like little, you know, boys and girls. Like, when I was that age, I was out playing football. I was out collecting Pokemon cards. Like, I don't know. I wasn't valuing myself based on the number of likes I'm getting. I just think it's a bit dangerous where we're going with this. So, I don't know. There's a lot of more informed people out there than me on this topic with the psychology behind, you know, social media and whatnot. But what I'm really trying to get to is, no matter what generation you're in, social media needs to be used for a force for good, right? A force for information, a source of value, a source of knowledge. Platforms like LinkedIn are, that's why I spend more time on LinkedIn now than any other social media platform, because I can go in and learn things. I can go in and be inspired instead of just getting into that trap of comparing myself or comparing ourselves, which I think everyone does, against those, you know, that 1% or 0.5% of people who have achieved a certain amount of wealth, a certain fitness level, a certain amount of travel they've done, and we're comparing ourselves against that, when in reality they're posting their highlight reel, right? They're not posting their you know, the trials, the tribulations, the challenges they go through within their business, within their career, within their personal life. So people, stop comparing yourself to others on social media and start looking at the ROI. What can you get from this? Start following people who provide value. Start following people who provide information, and try and not take too much notice of people's highlight reels, because everyone is putting on this front on social media, probably myself included sometimes. I don't talk enough about the challenges that we go through in the business and personally and whatnot. So maybe we'll start doing that more. But yeah, anyway, let's get back to the book review. I know we're about 7 minutes in now and I haven't even touched on this. So I'm going to get straight into this book review. And yeah, hopefully you guys can take some value from this. If you're in sales, if you're in marketing, if you run a business, I strongly recommend that you read this book. But hopefully this review will give you the main points without you having to spend too much time in there. So number one, my main takeaway from this book, and I'm going to go in relative order of how I read the book. I've got some key notes here that I would like to touch upon. So the first highlight that I have in this book is, if you're going into a business, if you are entering a new market, a new segment, never go into a market unless you can write a page of your customer's diary and be so spooky accurate that they wonder, hey, were you spying on me last night? That's a direct quote from the book. And I really, really like this, because it's getting into the whole concept of 80-20. So out of all the things in the world, there's probably going to be, you know, 20% of the stuff that you know about or that you're interested in, you really, really know about, right? Maybe it's 90-10, maybe it's 70-30, but you have this deep passion, this deep knowledge about certain things within your sphere of total knowledge. So if you're thinking about a business, don't go blind into a market that you don't have too much information or too much passion about, because if you don't know that much about it, if you don't have a real drive to make a difference in that industry or that niche, and you just go in looking to make a quick buck, then you're going to first and foremost burn out quite quickly. And secondly, if you don't have that knowledge, if you don't know the market inside out, you're going to find it hard, at least at first, to relate with your customers. And business is all about sales, right? At the end of the day, any small business, it's about having quality conversations with the right target market, right? If you can have quality conversations with the right target market, if you can help them, if you can provide value, advice, be seen as an expert in their eyes, and most importantly, relate and resonate with the challenges they're going through and understand them, you're miles ahead of anyone else in the industry. I don't care how many fancy funnels you have, how many cool stories of, oh, I write personalized letters to people in my target market and hope that they get back to me and see the value in the fact that I've made all this effort. No, you need qualified prospects on the end of the phone, and you need to know them inside out. As long as you can get them on the phone, I don't care how you do that, and have a really, really good conversation about who they are, who their business is, what their challenges are, what it is they need help with, and provide a viable solution to that based on your knowledge, based on your research, based on your experience, then you're going to be miles ahead of a lot of business owners out there, a lot of marketers out there who think they need to go through this lengthy cycle where they provide 20 touch points of value before even speaking to their customer. And if you don't speak to your customer, then you're not going to know that stuff. So, you know, have a good understanding of your market, and if you have a great understanding, even better. But the best way to develop this, if you don't have that understanding, is to get out there, start talking to people. I don't care how you do that, cold calls, LinkedIn, whatever it is, facilitate those phone conversations and just start chatting to your target market. Start asking them, hey, what is it that you suffer with? What are your challenges? What do you need help with? And see how your product fits to that, or your service fits to that. So that's a great takeaway there. The second takeaway that I've got highlighted here is that, from a marketing perspective, it is impossible to become proficient in every form of advertising. You need to focus on 1 to 3 forms of marketing and advertising so that you are much more skilled in the use of those media than most people. You need to get new customers from a direct range of sources, but putting all of your eggs in one basket is a lousy long-term plan, and spreading yourself too thin is just as bad. So let's break this down a little bit. Essentially, what it means is there's no point in trying to be a master at every single form of advertising and marketing out there. There's a ton, right? Facebook, Google Ads, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, email, face-to-face networking, asking for referrals, word of mouth, flyers, direct mail. The list goes on, right? Cold calling. So there's no, like, don't worry about being great at all of those, or you feel that you have to do all of those. If you can master between 1 and 3, and I would say 2 to 3 is better than 1, then you're going to be in a much stronger position, because you'll really master those channels, and importantly, you'll find which of the ones are working best for you, and then you can double down on them. So if you try and spread yourself too thin and just dabble in a bit of everything, you're not really going to have any predictability, any consistency in your pipeline, because you're not going to know the numbers for each and every channel. Let's say, for example, you know that if you find 100 people within your target market on LinkedIn, and you can schedule in 10 phone conversations with them, so that's a pretty reasonable number based on the campaigns that we run here at Sales Squared. If you can find 100 people within your target market, and most importantly, relate with them and resonate with them, and send them some compelling message in order to get on the phone with you, then that's 10 leads right there, right? So if you need 50 leads a month, you know, right, every single month I need to find 500 people within my target market, and I'm good. I have 50 leads coming in. The problem with that is that, let's say tomorrow LinkedIn goes out of business, right? It's unlikely, but anything can happen in business, right? Suddenly you need to find a new source of marketing. You need to find a brand new channel to find. So it may be better to have 2. So let's say you split that equally between, let's say, LinkedIn and email. You have those 2 channels, you're getting about 25 leads each per month, and you're doing good from there. Another strategy could be to split it between 3. So you have LinkedIn, email, and Facebook, and those are all bringing in different leads for you. So as you can see, if you have 3 channels, you get really good at them, you know your numbers, you know consistently you can get X amount of prospects, of leads every single month, that's going to put you a foot above the competition, who are either spreading themselves quite thin and trying to be a jack of all trades and focus on everything, and they're not really getting much consistency. They don't quite know what's working best. They just know, oh, I'm getting a few leads here and there, and yeah, I'm getting by. If they were to just look a bit deeper and see, okay, what channel here is getting me the best? Is, you know, am I getting a ton of leads from Twitter? Am I getting a ton of leads from Instagram? Right? So if they could find out what that was and then just double down on it a bit more and forget some of the channels where it's not really getting them a bang for their buck, then they're going to be getting more leads with less effort, most importantly, because they know what to do. It's just a case of scaling it up, paying someone to do it, putting in more manpower, more man hours to get that done. So that's getting into the whole 80-20 concept, right? Find the 20% of activities that get you 80% of the results. This was such a light bulb moment for me reading this book so many times, the actual power of 80-20. And when you look truly at what you do as a business, as a business owner, then you will really, really begin to see where it is you should be putting your eggs into which basket, where to focus and where to forget about. It's pretty cool, actually, when you start doing a mini audit of everything you're doing and begin to realize, okay, let's stop doing this. It's wasting my time. It's not getting me the best effort. And let's focus on what is getting me the best results. So let's move on from that one to the next little highlighted piece within my notes here that I have. And again, if you want to see this, see the Instagram post on this, just check me out, thecameronscott_, and you'll be able to find all this stuff. I'm going to be posting more and more book reviews as we go, but let's get into this one. Everything you do with your customers racks the shotgun. If you've racked the shotgun by offering, say, a troubleshooting guide, and 50 people have turned their heads by requesting it, you can rack a different kind of shotgun, like offering a live training workshop. This narrows your 50 down to 10 hyper-responsive targets who will carry you farther than the other 40 combined. Selling to the right person is more important than all the sales methods, copywriting techniques, and negotiation tactics in the world, because the wrong person doesn't have the money or the wrong person doesn't care. The wrong person won't be persuaded by anything. Very, very important, quite self-explanatory, but stop being a chicken without a head is basically the concept here. So stop running after every single person, stop chasing people who you know deep down aren't a good fit, and focus on those people who are a good fit. So the key here is qualification. This is why there's actually an argument against cold calling in this book, which I get into in a second. So cold calling, I personally think, is a good tool. But would I do it myself at this point in time where I have a established successful business and I need to be spending my time really in the most efficient way talking to qualified prospects and helping clients to make sure their campaigns are running as smoothly as possible and they're getting the best results as possible? Probably spending 5 hours of cold calling isn't my best time right now. So I would be far better off employing a junior salesperson or having something like LinkedIn, where you essentially can cold call without the need to call, but just do it through LinkedIn and get a ton of good leads that way. I'm better off not doing that myself, because if I can spend my 8 working hours a day on activities that yield £1,000 an hour, which is where I see the best use of my time, then my business is going to grow faster. I'm going to be able to employ more people. I'm going to be able to grow the business faster. I'm going to be able to provide more value. I'm going to be able to invest back into the business, into new ventures. And essentially, I'm going to be much better off focusing my time in those ways which provide the biggest bang for my buck. So I think cold calling is a good tool. I would say if you're going to have it in your business, give it to more junior salespeople who can then set up appointments for you. So I'm not against cold calling, but I'm against top salespeople or business owners doing cold calling. So I think your time can be better spent, to be quite honest. So yeah, it's all about qualification. So make sure that you're not just getting passive leads. I see this on LinkedIn all the time, messages that are so vague and just don't have any specificity in there. So if people are messaging you saying, oh, hi, John, let's talk about how we can support each other's business, when in reality, their intention is because they want qualified leads, they want to sell somebody, then that is an absolute waste of time. Do you know how many people are out there on LinkedIn who will just jump on a phone call because they're trying to waste some time in their day, or they just like talking to people, or maybe they're retired and they feel a bit lonely, whatever it is. If you're sending out that vague networking message to people, you're going to get a ton of time wasters on the phone, and it's not going to be a good use of your time. If you can instead approach them on LinkedIn and specifically lay out the challenges that you solve as a business, specifically lay out the solution that you have for that person if they have a conversation with you, and provide some convenient time slots, and basically say, hey, if this is a challenge you face, if you're looking for a solution here, let's speak about it. You're going to be speaking to people who firstly fit your target market, secondly have a challenge, and thirdly are looking for a solution. How much better is that than just having vague networking calls where you're trying to sell to the unsellable and you're wasting your time with random people? So no matter what channel you use, make sure that you are qualifying leads within your marketing, and the more qualified the better, to be honest. Next up, and it ties quite closely to this, invest heavily in building your strongest skills and find other people to do everything else. Someone else is great at what you're bad at. I would build on this saying that don't feel bad for outsourcing the tasks that you don't want to do within your business, because at the end of the day, you're giving other people a chance to learn, you're giving other people jobs, you're giving them revenue, and a lot of people out there just need a job, right? They just want a job. So if you want to outsource your invoicing or your little tasks in the day that take up a ton of your time, like, you know, doing out the expenses or lead gen or appointment setting, don't feel bad about doing that, because first and foremost, it's things that, you know, you're giving other people a chance to make some money. But secondly, you're freeing up 20, 30, 40 hours a week to really, really focus and invest on your strongest skills. So for me, I focused on sales, right? I'd like to say I'm a pretty good salesperson. I have some pretty good numbers to back that up. And in terms of my business, my time is best spent on the sales side of things. If I can spend my time having quality conversations with qualified prospects, then I know first and foremost I'm going to be providing them with a ton of value, because I have a lot of information that I can give them, and I'm going to be helping a lot of people because they're going to become clients, and I'm going to help them to grow their businesses. So for me, those are £1,000 an hour activities, right? Because if I make a sale, that's much more revenue for my business than compared to if I was doing, you know, filling out the expenses or chasing up invoices or sat there, you know, running the day-to-day admin tasks within the business. If I can relinquish that, save myself 20 hours a week, and then really focus all of that time in building relationships with potential clients, then that is a much, much better use of my time. I'm focusing on my skills, and I'm also building my skills. You know, for me, one of the most important things about sales is we're always learning, we're always developing, and it takes 10,000 hours to become a master, right? So I'm not at that 10,000 hour mark yet. I want to get there within the next couple of years. So I need to keep spending my time learning sales, mastering sales, and taking that skill with me for future ventures and for building my business in the future. So if you are a business owner and you're trying to do everything, I promise you, if you start outsourcing, if you start delegating some of those tasks that you don't like doing, that don't yield too much return on investment, but just take up a ton of time, it's going to transform your life, right? I mean, for me, even if it means at the beginning, you know, outsourcing a bit of revenue to save that time, it's an investment, right? Maybe you'll make a couple hundred quid less that month, but in a couple of months' time, by focusing on that activity, you're going to be able to scale your income to a much higher level, because you're, instead of working for £20 an hour tasks, you're working on £500 an hour tasks or £1,000 an hour tasks. So that's another good activity, is kind of audit all of the different tasks that you have or that you complete on a day-to-day basis, and assign a dollar amount to them, assign a pound amount to those tasks. And you'll begin to see, okay, what are the activities that are really transformative, and what are the activities that are a bit more transactional in nature that I could outsource to someone else? They'd be able to do just as good a job, and it would be relatively cheap to do so. Once you realize which tasks fall into which category, you're really going to start to transform things around and see the power of 80-20 by focusing on that 20% of activities that generate 80-90% of your income. And it's pretty cool because you also save time and can focus on things like learning, like reading and developing, and even spending time with family and friends and taking trips and whatnot, which is what we're all in business for, right? It's getting that balance, and it's finding a lifestyle that we can really really love whilst making enough income to be free. So yeah, very, very important part there. The next one up is the 7 cardinal rules of the 80-20 sales pro. So Perry Marshall wrote down 7 key rules that he thinks every single sales professional or business owner should be employing within their lives. So number one, quite interesting, is no cold calling ever. You should attempt to sell only to warm leads. So we touched on that earlier. I gave my thoughts and I agree. I think cold calling is a good tool. I just don't think it should be done by the head honchos, to be honest. Really, really amazing tool as well. If you're listening to this and you're a sales development rep, or you're in sales and you are cold calling, I think it's an amazing thing to do, because the skills you develop cold calling are insane. It's really the best sales education you can do. So that still could be considered an investment in your time, because you're learning so much. But there is a point that you'll get to in your sales career where you think, okay, I want to be spending my time on those high net worth activities, which is basically those qualified leads. So that's a really interesting point. Bit of a paradigm shifter for some out there, I'm sure. Number two, before you try to sell anything, you must know how much you're willing to pay to get a new customer. Again, this falls into the category of investing in those outsourced outlets. So investing in maybe someone to cold call for you could be really, really cool, because you could find out, okay, I'm paying this person £10 an hour and they get me 3 leads a day. So I'm paying, let's say, £80 for 3 leads, which is not bad in my book. So if you work that out, that's what, like 25, 30 quid per lead. Then if you're willing to pay that, then that's phenomenal, right? That's a really, really good, especially if you have a higher value for your sales. So you need to work out how much your sales are worth. If your sales are worth 20 quid, then it's not a good cost per lead. But if they're worth 500 quid, then it's pretty amazing. So figure out what's your ceiling there. How much are you willing to pay for opportunities, for leads? And the more qualified the lead, the more you'll have to pay. So I know people out there who will pay £1,000, £2,000, £5,000 for a very qualified lead, because if they sell to that lead, or if they sell 1 in 10 of those leads, they'll be making a return on investment. So work out what that means to you. The more qualified lead, the more it's worth paying. Moving on from there, a prospect who finds you first is more likely to buy from you than if you find him. Interesting point. I think this comes down to making sure that you have a presence online. So don't be afraid to put yourself out there on social media, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever social platform that you most prefer, then get yourself out there on that platform and really, put yourself out there, and customers will find you. This has happened to me several times, especially on LinkedIn, where I've put out an article, put out a piece of content or a post or a video, and someone's got in touch with me. So again, same as I mentioned on Instagram earlier, look at those people who are saving your stuff. You can't see who it is, but if you see a lot of people are saving your stuff, you can know that you're out there providing value, which is great, and people are taking note of you and of your content. So don't be afraid to get yourself out there, and also don't give a shit about how many likes you're getting or how many comments you're getting. If you just get, if one person approaches you and says, hey, that content was really good, let's have a call, see if you can help me, you've done your job. That's worth, one qualified lead is worth 10,000 times more than a load of petty likes for a post you put on Instagram about your workout or something. Look to provide value on social media, because that's the best way to get yourself out there in today's day and age, and you'll probably start seeing some decent results there, no matter what industry you're in. Number four, you will dramatically enhance your credibility as a salesperson by authoring, speaking, and publishing quality information. Again, getting right back to that point before, I think we get the point there. Content can work very well. Number five, generate leads with information about solving problems, not information about the product itself. Big point there. I really, really like that. So if you're marketing, if you're out there direct selling, direct mailing, direct messaging, never, ever, ever lead with your solution. Always lead with the problems, with the challenges first. This is something that is inherent to every single thing we do at Sales Squared. Lead with challenges. And if you're creating copy, if you're you're copywriting for marketing campaigns or direct messaging campaigns, then try and get in the head of that customer. Going back to the first point you mentioned today, if you could write a book in the day of their diary and the challenges they're experiencing, then you'll really be able to create very accurate recollections of what their challenges are, and you'll be able to lead with them, and I can guarantee that you will find people who struggle with that same challenge. So yeah, always lead with problems, not solutions. And then you can come to solutions after that, after you've set the scene with the problems. Number six, you can attain the best negotiating position with customers only when your marketing strategies generate deal flow that exceeds your capacity. This is a cool point. So it's all about having abundance in that pipeline. So do you have abundance in your pipeline? Do you have a flowing pipeline that is absolutely flying in terms of getting you more opportunities than you can even handle? If you're in that position, you are in a blessed position in business, because you will never have to worry if you have more leads coming in than you can serve, because that's a very nice position to be in, because you will always have sales coming in, and sales is the lifeblood of any business out there. I don't care what anybody tells you, sales is business. If you don't have sales coming in, you don't have a business. If you don't have leads coming in, you don't have a business. So yeah, if you can find ways to create more leads than you even need, then you're going to be in a super good position. I would say always try and serve those leads, scale up your business, get more people on board so you can serve them. But that's an amazing position to be in. So yeah, that's what business is all about. It's about getting opportunities in every single day. So yeah, that one's quite self-explanatory. Seek to find those strategies that are really working for you and get after them. Number seven, the most valuable asset you can own is a well-maintained customer database, because people who have already bought from you are way easier to sell to than strangers. Very, very true. If you have an existing customer base, then look at ways you can upsell them. Look at ways that you can provide more value to them, that you can serve them in a better way, in a more meaningful way. We're doing this at Sales Squared at the minute. We're introducing new different types of campaigns, different types of services, and it's really helping some of our customers to generate more leads, to generate more sales, and to level up a bit in their business. So yeah, I think it's a really, really important point to round up on. If you and what I'd add to it is really serve your customers every single day. Customer service is so crucial. If you're not making sure that you have every measure in place to serve them in the best way you can, then you're going to lose them eventually, which is a damn shame. Finally, well, actually, I think there's one more that I did want to touch on after this, but one of the best ways to move energy and resources from the bottom of the power curve to the top is to fire a customer. You don't have to be mean about it. You can just say, we reviewed our accounts and it just doesn't make sense for us to do business anymore. I like this a lot. I like this a lot. So there are always going to be, and if you audit your customer base, there's going to be some customers who contribute a lot, who are a breeze to deal with, they're pleasant, they're nice, they're just good people, and they are good business people. They give you referrals, they pay on time, they do everything they need to do to make sure that the operation runs smoothly. So if it's a campaign you're running, or you know, you're coaching them or consulting them, they're good clients basically. So these are the clients who will build your business, right? These are the ones that are so important. And then you have these clients who never pay on time, who never do what you ask them to, they never follow up on the action points after meetings, they talk disrespectfully to you sometimes or to your team members, they maybe swindled a discount at the start so they're not paying as much. These customers will kill your business. They will kill it. If you have a customer base full of these and they're taking up 10 times more of the time and not even paying the same amount as the higher level clients, they're not providing any referrals, they're always causing issues or problems. Some people just aren't worth doing business with. That's a modern fact of business, right? And it was a big eye opener for us at Sales Squared. So at the start of our business, we were hungry, enthusiastic, ambitious salespeople or business owners. We still are, but maybe a little bit naive to the fact that not every customer is going to be is going to actually provide a return on investment. Some of them will drain so much time or cause so many issues that we actually lose money on them, which is mad because they're supposed to be providing sales and revenue and, you know, service about fair exchange for good service. But not all of them are like that. So be very, very careful about who you sign up as a customer. And then I would say regularly audit your customer base. This is something that we've had to do a couple of times at Sales Squared. We have those A-star clients who are, you know, amazing. They, you know, they're great to deal with. They always pay on time. They make, you know, they're making sales all the time from our campaigns, and their, you know, their return on investment is huge, and they're writing testimonials for us. They're speaking to new clients to get them, you know, help them get them over the line because they want to give back because we provided a ton of value to them. And then you get those clients who just never seem to be happy. They don't trust us for some reason in terms of, you know, accepting that we're the experts in what we do, and if they follow the process it will work. And maybe they never pay their invoice on time, in which case we have to stop work and it disrupts the campaign and we can't make as much progress. So, you know, this is real stuff that happens in business, and not many business owners will talk about this because they want to portray this image of, oh, we love our customers and you know, we always just want to do the best for them. And that's exactly what we want to do at Sales Squared. But if there's a customer who just isn't a good fit, and they're going to be a bad fit for anyone they join because they're, you know, maybe they're not, maybe they have problems going on with, you know, with themselves or with their business, and they're under pressure and they're just not great communicators, or they, you know, they're inexperienced in business and they just can't deal with vendors in the right way, and they don't, you know, they don't take advantage of the opportunities they get, or they don't pay on time, they have financial issues. Like, there are a ton of reasons why a client could be a bad client. Doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means that they're maybe not as, you know, mature in business as you need them to be good clients. So don't be afraid to sack a client, basically, if you need to. So yeah, that's all my notes there. I've noticed that we've gone way over the 10 minutes that I originally suggested for this podcast. I hope you're still with us. If you are, then amazing. Thank you so much for sticking with it. And I'm sure that by this point you've gain some really, really good information, hopefully. If not, and I've not done a great job, but if you're still here, then you probably have. I would love to hear your thoughts. I'd love for you to get onto that Instagram post and comment your key takeaway from this podcast, or something that really hit home for you. I think that'd be really, really cool, and I will definitely get back to you on that. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are there. And yeah, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, then subscribe. We are putting content out every week or two that is really well thought out and basically designed to provide as much value as possible. And yeah, follow along on Instagram, follow along on LinkedIn, which is where we spend most of our time. And yeah, connect with me. I've had a couple of podcast listeners connect with me on LinkedIn, and actually I've provided bespoke episodes. So if you have questions, if you have anything you want answered, just drop me a line, and I'll probably do it within a couple of days if you requesting it. So if there's something you're challenging with, something that you have an issue with in your business, something you need advice on, then, you know, we've got a fair bit of experience here. We've been in sales for a little while. We've built a business from the ground up. Yeah, not being too cocky, because there's a lot of people out there who've done more, but I think we can provide some pretty good value if you're starting that journey. Then yeah, get in touch, and we would love to have a conversation around that on the podcast. So yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm going to cut it now because it's 38 minutes in and I've been babbling on for way too long now. So yeah, peace, enjoy your day, take some action, and keep learning and keep squaring yourselves. Okay, peace out.